Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we're going to continue our expectations series today, talking about Tavius Robinson and Patrick Ricard. Joining me to do that is Ben Mihal. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm great, Ken. How are you today?
Great to have you back on, and we've appreciated the contributions you made to the show, both with questions on Twitter and certainly in the shows you've done recently. That's a fair number now. Let's jump right in and talk about Tavius Robinson a little bit, who's entering his second season at age 25, a little bit older than your typical rookie last year, but he played all 17 games and 28.6% of the snaps. Did miss out on the AFC Championship game, but I would have to say that's an unusually large number of snaps for a rookie Ravens defender.
Yeah, that was one of my first takeaways too, actually, when I was looking at those numbers. 29% of the snaps, he kind of established himself with a nice role there on the early downs. He and Malik Harrison made for a little tag team there as the two outside linebackers on especially early downs. Saw him in the game with like Urban a lot as well. Yeah, I think he had a really nice kind of opening season there.
So I've got some detail on the early down stuff, because he played only 17.5% of his snaps on third and fourth down. He really played with Harrison as part of that base defense. Base defense almost always on earlier downs, on run downs. The Ravens, by comparison, he played 17.5% on third and fourth down. The Ravens had 28.5% of their defensive snaps on third and fourth down. So he was disproportionately low on those plays. I really got to say, looking back at this, I had my expectation did not come to fruition for Tavius Robinson. In fact, a lot the opposite. I really expected a situational pass rushing role. He's really a situational run defender who relieved a number of three guys from having a lot of early down snaps to stay fresh as pass rushers.
Yeah, it was actually essential, because there's a pretty small group there, especially with Ojabo going down early in the season. And I was watching kind of just some clips from throughout the year, and you realize they didn't even have Van Noy till week six. So there was the Colts game in week three comes to mind, where we actually saw quite a bit of Tavius Robinson there. I think wasn't sure what to expect from him in terms of pass rush early on. You don't think of him as like a bendy guy that has all these moves. He's more of a just pure power player, but seeing him on the rundown and having a real established role right away was really great to see, I thought.
Yeah, I thought so too. Another run defense number, the Ravens had 63% pass plays against them for the team. And that's typical of a team that's good and has the lead a lot, as the other team is forced to drop back pretty much snap after snap. But he had only 49%. Sorry, he had 49% of his snaps come on run plays. So that was exceptionally high for him relative to the 37% as the Ravens as a whole. One thing that's interesting is they never really tried to kick him inside. I think some of that may be him, but I think more likely it's they really like their three interior pass rushers in Pierce, Jones, and of course Matabike, who all had big years, and they kept two on the field almost every down this last year.
Yeah, I was expecting that as well from him, to kind of see him inside. And initially, I thought the one sack he had against the Bengals was inside, but he was actually lined up on the outside. They had Hamilton kind of coming on his outside, so it gave the appearance that he was more of an interior rusher on that play. I think there's something there. I've been obviously listening to your other ones, and we've hit some defensive linemen so far, and I think it keeps coming up. It's true. They really love those D linemen. I think we're going to see a lot from Travis Jones this year. I think we'll see Matabike on the edge a little bit potentially. So might be a little conflict there with Tavius, but yeah, really like what Tavius brought last year rather. And I too expected more of a pass rush. I kind of was viewing him through the lens of some of these other fourth and fifth rounders the Ravens have gone with through the years, kind of like a Judon's, Darius Smith, McPhee, are the big three, I think, there.
Those are a very big three if you ever talk about not being able to get pass rushers that late in the draft.
Right.
Tim Williams did not work out there, obviously, no, for some other reasons, but those guys, big value players where they were drafted.
I was also looking back at the draft and just kind of, I always like to reframe and see, was there somebody the Ravens really missed on there? And they really didn't. The only pass rusher in the same neighborhood as him was Herbig on the Steelers, who was a kind of a small speed guy, not really a Raven style player. So, you know, 1 year in, I'm feeling pretty solid about the Robinson pick there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's on the right trajectory is what I would say about this. And, you know, we don't honestly know what kind of player he is yet. The only thing I'm a little bit fearful of is that, you know, him being 25 this year is a little bit old for us not to know exactly who he is. There's one other thing that I kind of hoped he could do, and that is play a little bit of Sam linebacker, particularly with Bowser out. This last year, he dropped to cover only 10 times, 5.6% of pass snaps. That really wasn't part of his game. They didn't even try and build a pass rush to make use of his flexibility. Now, part of it is coming on the rush side, you don't always have a tight end there, so it leaves off those man possibilities, but you can still drop somebody into a short zone there and take advantage of showing that tackle a player there and then getting somebody else free because of it. But they didn't really try and do that very much. They did rush some four-man rushes that are not just the straight four, but and they certainly rushed some five as well, not nearly as much as they had during the Martindale era. But we didn't really see him used to drop to cover. And we saw, actually, there's more coverage drops from, I believe, both Matt Ibike and Michael Pierce.
Right.
than there were from Tavius Robinson.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be maybe the most like fluid mover in space per se. What we were talking about, kind of that bend, he doesn't really show that. He's certainly a big, strong athlete. And he definitely saw some of that long arm usage last year, both as a run defender and a little bit in some pass rush. So, I mean, the good news is the Ravens have a really good coach dedicated to the pass rush in Dr. Rush or Chuck Smith. There's a little bit of a need now kind of to fill some snaps, maybe from Clowney. One of the notes I had about Robinson was when you saw him standing next to Clowney, he didn't look small. And that's a pretty impressive feat there on its own. So you see the frame and there's an opportunity there this year as we, I'm sure, get into kind of our projections for next year.
We definitely did not see a Chuck Smith dividend paid off on Tavius Robinson. We saw a lot of other players in a big pass rush year. The Ravens have increased the role I think they may have even imagined for Chuck Smith when he first joined the Ravens, including some responsibilities to look at pass rushers during the draft, which I'm very excited about. I just got to say, it makes you more excited about Adisa Isaac to know he's already been through the Chuck Smith filter.
That was actually my thought as well. And I also like looking at the Isaac pick through the lens of kind of Robinson. I do like that they're not necessarily redundant players. I see a little more probably pass rush juice from Isaac, or hopefully at least. And I kind of see, you know, Robinson hopefully just locking down what he's done last year and growing on that. And then maybe we do see a little bit of kicking inside, like you've talked about, maybe a little more kind of mixing it up. It seemed like they also wanted him lined up across from tight ends in some situations where he could really beat up on that kind of end man there. So I do like that matchup for them as well.
Played a little bit of special teams as well on both sides of the field goal team. Now, that's not an automatic position that you'd assume he'd be in, but the Ravens do like tall interior guys or tall edge guys to rush the middle on the field goal block. So players like Brent Urban and Calais Campbell, of course, were always big parts of the field goal block team. And it's something that I guess he probably will continue doing it. I did not actually check to make sure this was true. I assume he played either on the wing or one off in terms of what he was doing on the field goal kick team, because it's the only natural position. He wouldn't have an interior position versus some of the behemoths that go in there, but still a nice part of your ticket to have punched is that you're on a couple of these specialist teams. The field goal block and kick units are the two that are distinct, very distinct from the punt and kickoff return units. Because the punt and kickoff return units, they need lots of guys of various sizes. They need a lot of speed. And they typically don't have big guys. But Tavius Robinson actually did some on the punt return team. And he's more of a block specialist. He's more of an inside guy they use there. But it just, you know, outside linebackers, if you look back to Paul Kruger, if you look back to some other players who had a little bit of difficulty getting on the field initially, oftentimes, part of the reason is they can't be activated on game day because they don't have a special teams role that they're really looking to. Tavius Robinson cleared that hurdle at least, and that's nice, and that's going to really make it easier for him to get playing time in the future on defense.
Yeah, I agree, and I believe it was the wing, kind of in the same spot we've seen Calais Campbell before, and I think they have Travis Jones out there on the field goal team as well. So yeah, I think that's great. Being active is the name of the game right now for a young player like that. And yeah, just continue to see him on the field, hopefully.
All right, let's talk about what a good season and a great season looks like. So you go good, I'll go good, and then great, as we've been doing it here.
Yes, for good season, I mean, we kind of touched on it, but just being active and seeing the field, continuing that rundown role with Malik Harrison, like we talked about, and then maybe seeing time inside on the passing downs, which we've kind of touched on as well. I didn't really want to give any metrics for that other than snap count on defense, not special teams, and just an increase over the about 30% we saw last year.
Very similar, I've got, so I'll just read mine. Steps forward to mid 30% in terms of play time, and the reason is quality. Okay, that part's important, that he doesn't just get it because somebody else gets hurt. Combination of special teams role and play keeps him active for every week he is healthy again. Takes a step forward in terms of pass rush productivity with a combination of better plays, missed tutelage, and better down and distance opportunities. So he didn't really have, I'm sure he had some tutelage from Smith, but he, you know, as a rookie, obviously feeling his way around and didn't have the good down and distance opportunities that all the guys who were in there on third down have, where you can pin your ears back and go after the quarterback because the threat of getting a first down with the legs is less. And just like you, I have no specific expectations in terms of pressures or sacks. His totals were very low, only had about 9 pressures by PFF. Included that 1 sack and 8 other pressures, but that's obviously not enough for the number of passing downs he had. And he would be near the bottom in terms of any sort of pass rush productivity metric among edges. Again, he really has a run defense role to play on early downs when he's playing with Harrison. So not too worried about it, but I want to see that increase as more opportune snaps come along.
Yeah, and I was looking back just because we talked about the other pass rushers, a kind of what did year two look for like a Judon or a Zadarius, things like that. And I was a little surprised, actually, McPhee and Zadarius Smith had lesser year twos than I expected, but Judon did not. Judon had 8 sacks and 17 tackles for loss in year two, which, I mean, we haven't gotten a great season yet, but that would be a great season for any young edge player, I would say.
Absolutely. I would say they were already, by Judon's third year, asking him, you know, how many sacks do you really want to get, or can you lead the NFL in sacks? And,
right,
you know, that's when it started to get ridiculous for a guy who drops the cover a lot. Definitely. Tell me what a great season looks like for Tavius Robinson.
So great season is interesting because this is one of those that you've brought up through all of your series, where a great season for him might not equal a great season for the Ravens as a whole. But a great season for Tavius Robinson, I think, would be, you know, he forces himself into an increased passing down role, either just by forcing his way into it or potentially seeing some injuries. You know, we've seen Ojabo go down time after time, unfortunately. You know, Van Noy is getting a little older, so maybe he sees the field a little more through some injury, seeing a little more pass rush promise from the edge, or seeing a really increased role where he is coming inside and making some impact rushing from the interior. And I did put a number on this one, just seeing maybe 5+ sacks would be a really great season for him.
Okay. That would certainly be a big jump forward. I still didn't put any total on it, but I don't think I'm dissimilar in terms of expectations. Play and circumstance increases playing time to approximately 40% of snaps. Personal pressure rate doubles on a per snap basis or more from 2023 and creates second man opportunities. A very low pressure rate this last year. So doubling it in his case two times nothing is still nothing kind of thing is going through my mind. But his two times a very low number is achievable, is right. How I would say it. Now he's going to, I hope he finds one other way to contribute, whether that's batted balls, contribution to turnovers, could be a good second man to the ball guy. Could be the guy who punches out. Jamie Sharper was the punch out king for the Baltimore Ravens when he was here in that 2000 season with 5 forced fumbles. Would love to see something like that where it's not just the quarterback, like he can dislodge the ball from a running back. Maybe a pursuit from behind is often a good way to get some of those fumbles created. I want to see him kick inside if he can, alternatively, he could play much better run defense in 23 than he did in 24 than he did in 23. And regardless of what his contributions are, I want to see regularly, but not necessarily consistently, that he's visible in terms of impact plays without any specific expectations in terms of the sack total. So what do I mean by that? I want him to be the kind of guy who shows up in our notes so regularly that I have to consider whether or not I'm putting him in the star treatment for the week on the defensive article. That's what I want. And it's a big ask because it'd be a big step up in terms of play. But a lot of players have done it. Travis Jones, a perfect example in his second year of a guy who came in and took an enormous jump forward for the Ravens in terms of not only his play, but also his responsibilities in his second season. So we could see something like that from Tavius, I think.
I agree completely. I think it's a great point. And I think it's also kind of the beautiful thing about football and player development is you really don't know what you're going to get development wise. And you will see that biggest jump generally between year one and year two. And I had meant to point out that Robinson was kind of a COVID player in college. So you never quite know how that kind of affects development. We said he's a little older prospect, but that's obviously tied in there. I think we could definitely see a nice jump between year one and year two for him.
All right, very good. Let's move on, talk about Patrick Ricard a little bit. I know a lot of folks are interested in him and what his role is. I think he had his best year in 2022 by most standards, including playing time being the biggest when the Ravens were the heaviest aligned team in a relative sense, probably in NFL history, but definitely in the last 3 to 4 decades. He had a big cut in snaps in 23. It was not unexpected. Monken came in, brought an 11 personnel offense in, and that naturally cut Ricard's snaps some. But I was encouraged by the fact that he only dropped by about 250 snaps from 747 to 495. That includes the postseason, was his snap cut. And that actually, I think, you know, there is certainly pressure put on Monken, or Monken may have actually realized himself what a valuable asset he had here. And they didn't take him out of the offense entirely.
Yeah, I mean, that was the big question. And oh my God, I went back to those numbers just like you did for 2 years ago and seeing 64% over 700 snaps in 20, it was just ridiculous. And I think it was very unfair the way that Ravens fans started to view and talk about Ricard, because the fact of the matter is he's just an absolute beast of a player, very versatile, incredible blocker, incredible versatility. And to think that he's not going to be a contributor to your team in a positive way is kind of foolish, but that was where the narrative was swinging kind of towards the end of the Roman years. Roman was running 22 a lot towards the end of the 22 season. I think that was way out of whack. I was looking at just across the league, you know, the Niners play Juszczyk about 46% of the snaps last year. So something in the 40s from Ricard, I think that's a great number. And of course, you know, Ricard's a lot more than a fullback. You see analysts across the league not necessarily knowing how to classify the Ravens 12, 21, things like that personnel. And he actually said on an interview that I was just seeing the other day that he actually works out exclusively with the tight ends. That's where he's in the meetings with all of that. So it's kind of an interesting thing though, when you just discuss how do you view Ricard as a player positionally?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely true in terms of his usage this last year, and there's a sharp difference. It was one of my points to make. He was used primarily in line as opposed to backfield and slot. And by the way, if you're looking at PFF positions, they can be really misleading. They're not all that misleading for a player like Ricard, because you can kind of visualize exactly what he's doing when he's lined up as a slot player. He's not meant to threaten the field vertically in any way, shape, or form. He's meant to come in motion back into the backfield and make a block, or at least threaten that. Sometimes they'll go on first sound and Ricard will stay where he is and he'll be an outlet option from that point. But typically he's moving into the formation and making blocks. That'll be more important than ever since the Ravens have a heavier power component to their football game this year, their run game, I should say, than they have in previous years with Derrick Henry.
Yeah, first of all, clearly the Ravens love getting him on the move. I really like seeing that motion. They've done some interesting things with it. He can kind of come across an ISO one-on-one as a pass blocker against an edge rusher. We saw some of that even in the Texans playoff game. I think Henry, I think, has worked well with the fullback in the past. Obviously, you're going to want Henry coming downhill. So I do think we'll see a little more true fullback usage from Ricard this year. But on all the end of line stuff that we saw last year was really nice. And obviously, he has incredible value in filling in for a Likely or an Andrews at the tight end position.
Right. Yeah, he does. And the Ravens don't have a good run blocking tight end, really. That's an inline option, which is one of the reasons probably why he got so many snaps. I want to save the big elephant in the room for last, which is whether Ricard himself impedes some of the 12 formation that the Ravens have. But we'll get to that at the very end of this, because I think it's the most important question about Ricard and how he fits into this offense is just, can you still get Likely and Andrews on the field at the same time when you have Ricard there? You mentioned some of the playing time things. First of all, let's start with that. 326 run blocking snaps were the most if you classified him as a fullback of anybody in the league. And Juszczyk was just less than him, 315. I have for Juszczyk as a run blocking player. Juszczyk occasionally ran the ball, but it was a small number as well.
Right.
If you go back to the AFC Championship game and you wonder, why didn't the Ravens run the football in that game? Well, Patrick Ricard was only on the field for 15 snaps. I know they only ran it for six, but Patrick Ricard's only on the field for 15 snaps. You're not committed to the run game by your personnel grouping there. So I don't know exactly how that conversation was going during the game, what the flow of that was, whether or not they thought they had an opportunity at some point. Because a lot of it, Harbaugh will tell you afterwards, is that by down and distance, they didn't really give us opportunities to run the football. And that's somewhat true. There's also some of the comments that the Chiefs basically dared them to throw at their cornerbacks, which was the team's greatest strength, by otherwise having people up and close to the line of scrimmage. And there's an element of truth to that. And you have to figure out how to beat that, which has been a problem not only for the Ravens and offensive coordinators, but for Lamar. If you go back to that Miami game in 2021, I think it was that nightmare 40 cover zero blitz game. But it's very painful. But you know, the usage of Ricard very much mirrored the lack of usage of the run game in that AFC Championship.
That was one of the first numbers I looked at when I started digging into kind of his performance from last year. And yeah, it's just a bummer to see. I mean, you've covered this on plenty of shows. It's certainly going to haunt Ravens fans for a long time. He's one of your most impactful players. Obviously, him being in game doesn't need to run it, but you can give the impression of running it. And to just have him out there for 15 snaps, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. I know there was some talk about the Chiefs stuffing the run, and it's, you know, there definitely were some of those first few runs where, you know, you see Tranquil making an impact, an outsized impact, I would say, given what kind of I think of him as a player. So maybe that got in their heads a little bit, just the physicality of the line of scrimmage. I'm not really sure. It remains confounding, and looking back and seeing 15 snaps from Ricard kind of tells you a lot of the story there.
Looking at the most disappointing playoff losses of all, and I'd maybe put four in this category, and I'm going to add one just because it fits this specific narrative. So I know this. I don't really think the 2003 playoff wildcard loss at Tennessee should come as a big surprise to Ravens fans. I think they're a three-point dog in the game, and they lost by three. But it was a game where Jamal Lewis was the big weapon that the Ravens had, and they had Anthony Wright at quarterback. They weren't going to probably win the game that way, but the Titans immediately shut down Anthony Wright. The Titans were a big physical team. Flash forward to 2007 or 2006, after the 2006 season in January of 2007, and the Colts were a really undersized defense who had a lot of trouble stopping the run, and they just did the same thing basically the Chiefs did and dared the Ravens to throw it. And Jamal had a lot of trouble early in that game as well. The Ravens could not get it going really at all the whole game. And then McNair made some very big errors near the goal line, made some big errors otherwise. 2019, Lamar had a great game, but the Ravens running game overall was not great in that game. And they, Tennessee, again, a fairly physical team, was perfectly happy to have the Ravens try and run against them. And last shot is the 23 loss, which now has to fit in the most awful losses in Ravens playoff history. Again, a case where I think the Chiefs said, look, you're going to have to beat us with the pass. We're not going to let you beat us with the run.
And the similarity I see there with 19 and 23, especially, you said Lamar had a great game. Statistically, he did, just because he put the ball in the air a ton of times. Yeah. That kind of in stark contrast to 23, where...
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious, high-potency gummies, top-shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Ravens. So head to mood.com/Ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app. Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
The Ravens kind of acted like they were down the same deficit they were in 19 to the Titans, but they really weren't. They were only down 7 a lot of the game, but they were just playing with this like panic, like they were down multiple scores, and seeing Lamar kind of hanging back there looking for just deep shot was, that with the combination of just not running the ball was very maddening, and it's a tough one to look back on.
All right, let's look at it, a couple things from his 2023 season, from Ricard's 2023. The first was that he came into 2023 with very little success as a receiver. Now, we've all loved seeing Ricard get the football and running over somebody and go and kind of being forced out of bounds once in a while, but never going down. And he kind of has something to say about it afterwards. And just love this kind of bully football. But the truth of the matter is 4.7 yards per target is not going to get it done. He had 7.4 under Monken, which is really nice. Now, just because he was in line, that doesn't mean he's getting better opportunities to be in a better spot on the football field to catch it. I think Monken was doing more to create opportunity for him, both in terms of overloading by direction and in terms of having outlet opportunities that were meaningful that left him behind. But in any case, 7.4 yards per target was very good and by far his career high. Nice that Monken was able to assimilate him in that way.
I think a lot of that number also comes from one reception in particular, where I believe he rumbled for, I think, 30 plus yards, I believe, against the Lions.
That was the second longest. Yeah, it was the second longest
for most of the season, I believe, or up to that point.
No, here's the statistic, and I'm trying to make sure that his long was where I think it is. He's got a long of 28 this year. I think that catch was the second longest ever by a player who weighed over 300 pounds. That Ty Zambrillo had a 38-yard touchdown or something for Tampa Bay that was the only longer one.
Yeah, and I watched that one again. They just turned him loose. I mean, to me, the play of the year from Ricard was the one-handed grab in the Miami game, and that just shows you the kind of athlete he is. You know, they obviously kind of did something by design just to get him free there, just crossing the field. But, you know, for a 300-pounder to be able to throw one hand up there and stop the ball like that is pretty impressive.
It's you know, he's got a lot more in common than Nick Boyle than people would say. Nick Boyle, a little more elusive, more use as a play action player than Ricard, obviously. But both of them are good blockers, and both of them have an ability to manipulate the football easily with one hand. They can haul it in, and they don't look like they're lost as receivers if they have some problem getting one hand of the football. There's a nice thing about one-handed catches is they often put the receiver in a better position to make yards after the play if they don't feel like they have to make the catch with two hands. By the way, some of that exists also in baseball. If you could be in a much better position to set up to make a good throw from the outfield if you don't have to catch the ball with two hands.
Yep, that's a great point. The one-hander with a good run after a catch that comes to mind, same Miami game, was likely there, turning that one-hander into an insane run after a catch as well.
Yeah. I know a lot of people just hate – old-timers in particular just hate to see receivers catch the ball with one hand. But the truth of the matter is, if you can do it and you know what you're doing, and or at least you're comfortable enough that your second option is you're tipping the ball to yourself,
right,
then it's usually okay. But that's good. Anyway, let's talk about the downside here, because I think despite his success – his future under Monken is really not all that clear. The balanced offense we think would include Ricard, and I think we saw enough evidence in 23 that it can include Ricard if the Ravens are having the type of dominant season that they've had in recent years, where they're leading a lot of games, beating the crap out of some opponents pretty regularly, and they want to seal games. Ricard is a great ICBM to have in the silo at that point. That's not good, because you don't want to use ICBMs. This is something you want to use, a nice weapon to have in reserve. But I don't think they're going to eliminate Ricard. But the other thing is they're not always in a position, and the Kansas City game kind of shows it, where it seems like they're willing to use Ricard.
Yeah, and I assume you're alluding to just being able to get Andrews and Likely on the field together. That's kind of the trade-off there. So, yeah, I mean, and even Kolar, because I do think Kolar has some promise that we haven't seen yet as just kind of a really nice down-the-seam, red zone, kind of use-your-height receiving target. It was kind of weird that before the Andrews injury, we really didn't get a lot of Likely and Andrews together. Then Likely has the great second half of the year, Andrews working back, and obviously Andrews wasn't 100% for the Chiefs game, and you know, anything they were doing there to get them both in the field wasn't really the best version of that that we're hoping to see in 24.
Okay, so we entered the 24 season with our Ravens having four tight ends essentially, plus a fullback, that they have to carefully allocate the snaps for, particularly in relation to wide receivers. Now, one of the kind of nice things from this standpoint is that Odell Beckham is no longer around. That said, a lot of Odell's snaps hopefully will be replaced by Tez Walker, that he'll be on the field and get some. We certainly hope Bateman and Flowers play a significant amount of snaps and aren't hurt. But they have a set of receivers right now, which I don't think makes it a lot easier to get more tight ends on the field. So choices will have to be made among those four players to go along with, you know, Derrick Henry or another running back. But you also have the possibility of a pony backfield being a really nice misdirection element to add to a Jackson/Henry backfield.
Yeah, I mean, what we saw from Hill down the stretch last year, especially after Keaton Mitchell went down, kind of embracing the role of a speed back there. I think you're right. Definitely going going to see some of that, or could see some of that. I definitely think we'll see a little bit of Rickard Henry together. But I mean, my whole thing with Likely is he really is a receiver. That's how he played in college. I see no reason why he can't be the replacement for Beckham, more so than Tez Walker, to your point, or a Nelson Aguilar type thing.
Okay. All right. Nelson Aguilar got a lot of targets last year. He got 45 targets.
Right. Aguilar is going to keep his role most likely, to your point. Yeah. So if we're splitting the difference between, you know, Tez Walker and Likely, maybe though.
Okay. I want to state it differently because I actually had a different thought in mind. I'm saying I think that Aguilar overperformed in terms of playing time high degree this last year. And I think his snaps probably get cut, but we'll see how that actually plays out. Snaps and targets both. You know, one of the things that I saw last year was something like 16 targets was one of the projections for Aguilar for the season. Now, that's not unreasonable given, you know, he's an older receiver, had a couple of problem years at New England, hadn't played well since 2020, comes to Baltimore, and you just got to figure, you know, how's he going to fit in this offense? Okay, that's reasonable. But then he started to fit, and he had an outstanding year in terms of what he did, not only in terms of his personal statistics, in terms of extended plays, in terms of some of the unselfish things he did, I thought were really going to cement his role for this next year. I still don't think he's going to get 45 targets, though.
The Aguilar thing from last year was really that X factor of football, too, that clearly he and Lamar just had some kind of connection, that who could have predicted that, right? We heard about it in training camp, that he was playing really well, that Lamar really liked throwing to him. They kind of see things the same way for whatever reason, so... That's kind of that cool thing where, you know, you bring him in, a lot of the fan base didn't like it at the time, but, you know, once you get that connection with the quarterback, that's more important than anything. And that's what we're all looking for from Bateman, is to really be on the same page with Lamar like that. So maybe Aguilar can teach him some of that even.
Well, it's nice that, you know, injuries aside, and injuries are going to happen. They're going to happen at the soft tissue spots at wide receiver. They're going to happen at corner. But if the group is largely healthy, then you really have accumulated another good depth problem for the Ravens with the plethora of tight ends they have. It should lead to being able to keep some guys fresh. And I hope they're very good at doing that. Particularly, you know, I'd like to see maybe Likely and Anders each 2/3 of the snaps, with a third of the snaps in overlap in 12. That's what I'd like to see. I don't know if that's.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
That's my thought on that as well. And anywhere you kind of put a little Kolar, Rickard, you know, Walker, Aguilar as your ancillary pieces to that core, that's what a perfect version of the offense looks like to me as well.
I don't think if we say 1.33 snaps for those guys, I don't think we're going to possibly get more than about 550 snaps or so to split between Kolar and Rickard, which then becomes tight for both players. So, you know, I'd certainly love to see it work out that way, but we'll just have to see. And obviously circumstances may change to do that. The Ravens may not be as good this year. They may need to play more lighter sets because of that. And
play from behind a little more.
Play from behind a little more, or they might be close to as good. Let's put it that way. And they might have a lot more Rickard than I would expect, but I would kind of expect Rickard snaps to be cut from 495 coming out of this. I think more like 420 might be a realistic expectation for him this year.
I think the value there, snap count kind of predictions aside, is really just going to be as a injury kind of replacement, and the fact that he can fill so many different roles from the bench is really the value, more than the number of snaps played in some ways, I feel like.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they get that value out of McCary, and then he does end up playing a lot of snaps. So, yeah, 4 straight Pro Bowls for Rickard, had hit that come to an end this last year with the reduction in snaps. He didn't have his greatest year as a run blocker, if you believe PFF. One of the things about that is that his numbers were not particularly different from the league average this last year, which is bad, because normally a fullback, if you're an above average player, and you might see a grade of 66 or 67 on that player, say on PFF, but it's in a relatively small number of snaps. The PFF is an aggregation in that rating. And so if they are at that same level for twice as many snaps, it'll be a much higher grade. And so it's easier to understand when you looked at their old plus two to minus two system, and they laid all that bare for you in terms of the numbers there, because your aggregate numbers grow with playing time significantly. And I think Ricard's is in that kind of that boat right now, that his play needs to improve a little bit on a per snap basis in terms of productivity. But if it did, then I think if he were to return to the kind of snap count, he'd be again by far the best blocker in football. I'm not 100% convinced that's going to happen in 2024, that Ricard still has one more Pro Bowl level per snap productivity season. But I do want to hear about that from you.
Yeah, I wonder if some of that's tied into alignment too, in terms of productivity. Perhaps he kind of was a little more productive coming out of the backfield than lined up on the line. So I think alignment might have something to do with that as well. And of course, the volume of that. It's a good point.
That, yeah, you make a very good point about the starting position too, because obviously Ricard in motion, whether it's getting out of the blocks from as a fullback or moving to the inside, either one of those is going to give him a better opportunity. In terms of Ricard's future with the organization, he's signed through 2024, but he has a $4.35 million cap savings if he's cut. This is an interesting case for the Ravens. It would be obviously a big deal for them to move on from Ricard, but I wonder if they found the guy in camp that they thought they liked, and he's another defensive lineman slash fullback, and he's a guy they think, that gives us 5.5 defensive linemen. We really ought to consider that for emergencies.
So it's funny you brought this up. So I had something about this too, where I think in the past the Ravens have tried to recreate, like, let's find the next Ricard. The Ben Mason pick jumps out, of course, which to me was, you know, talking about fifth round picks, that was a wasted pick pretty obviously. And even a team like the Ravens that hits on fourth and fifth rounders with some regularity, they're also prone to some Caillou Blue Kelly, Ben Mason style whiffs there. So I think, you know, I wonder if they will take that route again, or if they maybe just try to put a tight end in that role. You know, like last year, Vokolek was looking great. Like, I don't see why they couldn't have, you know, or what the relative, you know, difference between like a Vokolek or an undrafted tight end style player too, especially knowing that they do kind of treat Ricard as a tight end. So I almost wonder if it's going to be more of a big body tight end that they try to convert into that role going forward versus a two-way player, defensive line, fullback like Ricard.
Yeah, they both reasonable ways. You know, another thing is the Ravens might want to carry 10 offensive linemen this year if they really had a guy. And the only guy I could see who kind of intrigues me as maybe fitting this role would be like a Samak, because he's not committed to a position right away. You know, Josh Jones, you know, McCary, then it's not going to be one of their 6, 7, 8 man guys.
Too high cut. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be a guy. It would be a guy who normally might play center. You know, maybe a Tristan Colon would have been a guy that they looked at and said, yeah, maybe this is somebody we could use in that role. A lot of people use some really outsized men in that fullback spot. I mean, going back to Refrigerator Perry, a lot of players are used that are outsized, and they're not necessarily the greatest athletes. Some are, you know, sometimes you have a Hubbard in there at fullback where it's a really good athlete, or who was the guy who was the New England guy who had a bunch of touchdown catches. And JJ Watt was there too. I mean, you know, various players, sometimes it can be a great player, but oftentimes it's a defensive lineman or offensive lineman who just looks way out of size and shape for the position. And his, you know, main asset is just going to be size there. I'm not saying they're getting rid of Ricard for certain, but I think he's also a player who carries a lot of tread wear with him into 2024. Both hips have been worked on. He's had a multitude of other injuries. And I guess the question is, you're probably going to cut him loose in 2025. Does it then become something that you do a year early rather than a year late, save some cap space and take a lottery ticket on the next fullback you want to keep around for 4 years, say?
I mean, it's a great question. And that when the $4 million for a fullback does seem a little outsized, but as we're going to get to with our kind of projections for this year, I do think that the Ricard usage is going to be tied in very directly with how good or bad are the Ravens this year. Yeah. Whether that gives him more or less value, that's a different question, I suppose. But I definitely don't think they're going to move off of him this year. I suppose they probably are planning long-term for this. And I do wonder if maybe long-term Monken is just saying, you know what, we don't even need to carry a fullback. Or to your point, maybe there is an offensive or defensive lineman or a tight end that they want to move into that role too. So yeah, all good questions. I would be surprised though. I kind of could also see him being a Raven for life kind of guy, or for most of his career that takes a little pay cut. Maybe if we only see 250 snaps from him this year, something like we were saying before, you know, maybe there's a little pay cut from that. I'm not totally sure. It's a great question for sure.
This is the kind of thing, it may even take the pay cut coming this year.
Right.
That, you know, he's got $4.35 million. Maybe the Ravens say, I'll tell you what, let's make it three this year and then we'll sign you on for two more years for $6 million or something. You know, it obviously a lot of that would depend on health. I think it should, honestly. And the Ravens may have already made their treadwear choice with him. And we'll just have to see. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of excitement in the meantime about seeing him and Henry in the same backfield and just the combined weight of those two guys.
Yes. That's certainly true. All right. Let's go into the good season, great season. What's a good season out of Patrick Ricard for you?
This one is really funny, and I actually listened back to your projections last year for Ricard too, because it's really hard to say what is a good season from him. I mean, to me, he's just a steady player. You mentioned his, you know, metrics going down just slightly, but there might be some reasons for that. I think he's going to give you the same thing every year, so it's really hard to quantify good, great, you know, exceptional. For me, good season, stays healthy. I said keeping the same snap rate as last year, or plus or minus just slightly, which to me, of course, means that the Ravens are winning and therefore running the ball a lot, and makes the Pro Bowl again.
Okay. All right. That would be a step forward for me. A good season for me is he's a big part of the offense, both on early downs and when closing out, and plays as much in line in as tight end as in plays it much in line as he did in 2023. This is important. He does not impair the offensive creativity. So whatever they want to try with Likely and Andrews, the tail can't wag the dog. And in this case, Ricard is the tail. So like they have to build the offense around Likely and Andrews, try and get what blocking they can out of those two guys. And Ricard's playing time may have to suffer because of that. Plays a role in a solid year for the Henry Jackson experiment. I don't really have anything to add to that. I mean, we know we have an idea in our minds of what that looks like. I'm sure it's pretty similar. And I don't have any specific requirement for postseason honors or any individual statistics otherwise that I would point to for Ricard with a good season anyway.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. One other thing just on that is that I do think that there's value in him in a decoy role, of course. I mean, dating back to the 22 season, maybe 21 and 22 seasons, there was a lot of talk of follow Ricard and you're going to find the ball. And I think Monken obviously knew that. They did a good job of self-scouting, and you definitely saw a little bit more misdirection with his usage last year. So continuation of that would be good as well.
Yeah, that is an important part of misdirection. I think that's a really good point you make. Go on with your great season then.
Great season. Again, you know, filling that, just kind of building on last year's role. For a great season, I said filling in at the kind of a tight end two to help survive an injury to Andrews and or Likely. And then, which obviously would not be ideal, but that would certainly lead to him getting on the field a little more. I said, you know, scores 2+ touchdowns and makes all pro, both of which wouldn't be essential for a great season. Of course, would be some nice perks.
All right. Here's my great season. Is definitely I've got the bar set a little lower than you, even on a great season. He essentially duplicates his per snap productivity from the 22 season as a run blocker while still playing 50% of the snaps. So 64% in 2022, as you mentioned, 50% would be terrific. And that means the Ravens are having a good year running the football, by the way, if he's in that much. The Ravens continue to go to him with the lead and for a broader set of early down opportunities to support the run. And of course, that's with Derrick Henry. And that just he stays in the Ravens' plans for 2025. No postseason honors are required for him to hit a great season at this point. In fact, if you're not looking at Patrick Ricard prospectively and expecting some slight decline, I think you're probably not being realistic about it. The guy's been through a lot in terms of tread wear. He's been in the league a number of years now, since 2017 or 18. 17, I think, right? So this is eighth season. It's not realistic that he's going to continue to perform at a high level. Even though some fullbacks last a long time in the league, and you know the Ravens have had a lot of them in their golden years, yep. You know, kind of still blocking. But I think it's probably not realistic that he's going to be wedged into an enormous snap count role where he performs at a consistently high level across the board.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And that was one other thing that you touched on there, which is that the Ravens have had a long line of success in finding fullbacks of all different like shapes and sizes. So considering they're the team that initially found Juszczyk and the kind of unique weapon that he is, maybe that guy's on the roster, like we said. Maybe next year they feel like they can find some undrafted guy or a late round guy, something like that. It'll be curious to see what they do going forward.
One thing I say about the United States a lot is their biggest asset for the United States is the fact that they're at the top of the immigration totem pole. Everybody in the rest of the world basically wants to live in the United States. Now, I know during the Trumpist time and whatnot, during the last 8 years of division in this country in general, there's been some reduction in people wanting to come to the United States, and it's imperiled, you know, potentially. But it's still, this is the country everybody wants to live. If you're a fullback, you want to play for the Baltimore Ravens because that's a system you know is going to accentuate what you do. So the older guys, Vontae Leach and Sam Gash and Neal, coming to the Ravens in their golden years, still had something left in the tank and we're good then.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny to say, Harbaugh's going to run the ball. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of criticism, of course, about not running the ball in the last game we played. But overall, you know that if it's a Harbaugh-led team, Jim or John, that they're going to be running the ball, and that's not going to go out of style either.
All right, Ben, appreciate talking about this with you and taking the time to join us. Where can people talk football with you online?
I'm on Twitter at Classic Michal, chiming in on some Ravens conversations as always. Kind of a quiet time of year right now for the Ravens and football news, but excited to ramp back up towards the season.
All right. Hope to hear you on more podcasts here and other places as well. If you have that opportunity, and other folks out there, if you'd like to get in a film study podcast, please hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. I'm doing a series towards the end. Probably we'll start in the middle of July, which will be the concerns series. So that'll be, what are your concerns about the 2024 Ravens entering camp? Let's get those on the table right now. Tell me what your concerns are. Even with a very good football team, you can still have some concerns. And that's part of the fun of the micro focus of this concern series, is seeing how these things didn't really become a problem, like the cornerback depth last year. But anyway, hit me up and I would love to hear from you. I'll get you scheduled for a nice appropriate slice of that when the time comes. Ben, thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.